Hey, Mike.
Hey, Michelle.
Sorry.
Michelle, you've had an enormous fall from grace.
Well, one of many.
I'd like to begin by asking you a few questions about how this whole mess got started. Do you remember seeing him for the first time?
Yeah. You guys here on vacation?
Certainly are.
Welcome to the end of the world.
One of many, but at least I'm not as bad as Noah, huh?
I like how I remind you, or I kind of ask you, like, hey, is our time still good? And you're like, am I working with an amateur or what?
Amateur here or what?
I thought we had this settled. It's always the same time.
I know. That makes it so much worse because I was so smug about it, right?
Absolutely.
I know. I apologize.
I don't think that's going to help today, Michelle.
Well, okay. Okay. So, Mike, you have a new podcast out, Succession. I listened to part of it the other day. I didn't get a chance to listen to it all, but plus I'm not caught up to there. So I didn't really want to hear like the meat of it, but it sounds like it's going to be pretty good. How's that going?
It's okay. I thought the show was really good to start, but then it kind of waned in the middle, but we're kind of jumping in the middle. So that's a little weird, but it got really good again this week. So I guess I'm kind of back in on it.
Okay, good. Yeah, it's always hard to do that. It's hard to start a new podcast anyway. It's like the, kind of pilot of anything, but that's good. I'm excited to catch up with it and follow you guys along.
Yeah, are you, what episode are you on in the show?
Oh, like 3 of season 1.
Oh, yeah, you got to get a lot farther.
Yeah.
They're up to like season 2, episode 5.
Right. Right, but there's only like 10 episodes or less, right, per season?
There were 10 in the first season, and I think there are 7 in the second season.
Okay.
Jeannie and I were actually just trying to figure that out because they only list partially what episodes are coming up. It's hard to tell. I'm sure there's a way of figuring it out. I just haven't put the effort in.
Yeah. Well, it sounds pretty good, though. I'm excited to listen to that.
Well, Michelle, in this show, The Affair, there are a couple times in this episode where people recap things. One is this interviewer / Vanity Fair woman kind of recaps Noah's life, and then later on Helen does it, and Sasha kind of does it with his life, so Helen kind of does it with her life, but I did my own version, Michelle.
Oh, okay.
So while you were
out
on your deck, I was thinking about the show.
Okay.
And I don't want to say this show's overdramatic, but it's basically a guy cheats on his wife with a girl who has sex with about 8 other people on Long Island, and then she gets killed by an insane Marine, but not before she has a futuristic time-jumping baby who grows up to be into rough sex with strange men. And along the way, the first guy's wife gets accused of killing the first guy's lover's brother-in-law who had previously tried to rape her. Then the first wife gets cheated on again by another guy who screws his next-door neighbor and then dies, leaving that next-door neighbor with a baby behind to be taken care of by the first wife.
And that's it.
Did I miss
we'll
anything?
See you guys next week on The Affair.
I'm not even going to try to talk about Oscar or Max or the waitress who works at a beach cafe that makes enough money to rent a 3-floor apartment in Brooklyn. But that's The Affair.
That's it. That's it pretty much in a nutshell. Plus we have like the father, of the futuristic rough sex liking girl who's disappeared that we don't know anything about. So lots of stuff. My daughter actually caught up with it this week. My oldest daughter, she watches it, and she was like trying to message me late one night about it, and I'm like, we got to talk about this tomorrow. So she called me the next day, and she was just like kind of word vomiting all of it. She's like, what are they doing? When she watched episode 1 and they went to Joni, she thought her TV had glitched and taped something
That's
wrong.
That's what I told you I thought.
Yeah.
I thought
she actually turned it off.
Black Mirror and jumped in.
Mm-hmm. That's what she did. She's like, she turned it off and went and found the show somewhere else and saw that that's what had happened. And she was not happy, you know, that she had gone to that much trouble, because they didn't even tell us anything. You know, they didn't tell us part two, Joni. They didn't do anything on episode one. They're starting to do that, of course, now. But
does your daughter listen to the podcast?
She does a lot of times. Yeah, she hasn't listened to this season
yet.
Oh,
come on, Michelle. How many strikes do you want against you in this?
Yeah, well.
All right, McNulty and the Heartbreakers, Michelle, let's go.
Yeah, we start with part one, which is Noah. And Noah is again being interviewed. This is two out of three where we start with Noah kind of being interviewed because he's so important. Noah is so self-important. What is going on with Noah now? He is just, I mean, everything is just about him. And as kind of an overview, did you notice that I kind of got the feeling we were going back to that prison stuff where he's not seeing things as reality? Did you kind of get that?
They made Noah so stupidly, comically stupid that it's hard to even think of this in any other way but a comedy now.
Well, he's very narcissistic. Everything is about him. Everyone wants him. Everything is about him. Helen can't go anywhere because if she shows up somewhere, he's like, oh, thanks for coming. That was good of you. Like, she came for him. Everything is just about him.
You know, it's funny. We've said this a couple times, or I've said it a couple times. Like, if Sarah Treem were to ever in a million years listen to this podcast, she would be sitting in her mansion rolling her eyes going, don't you get it? The exaggeration focuses in on the point. You're missing the point. But it's
Is that Sarah Treem's accent?
Yeah, that was her. I was channeling her.
That's good.
It's comic. It's comedic.
And I do get it. I do get that it's a different point of view. But when they first started this out, the differences from the different points of view were subtle enough that they were realistic. And now the differences are just like, they do not give the audience enough credit for being smart. It doesn't have to be so blatant. Everything doesn't have to be so in your face that it's like they show it and then they go back and go, okay, what we're trying to tell you. One of my middle daughter, my youngest daughter, every time a joke was ever told, kind of the joke in the house was, she would turn around and explain it while we were all laughing to my middle daughter, just to be mean, right? Just to poke at her. Like, you couldn't possibly understand this, so let me explain it to you, which made any joke all the more funny. But this is like, that's how they're treating us. It's like they're turning around and explaining something that we get it. We get this. So anyway, sorry, it was kind of a tangent. But Noah's being interviewed by a lady from Vanity Fair. And of course she wants him too, right? Because who doesn't? And she does. Yeah, she does. Are you single? Are you single? Because our viewers would want to know.
Yeah, I thought that was a little flirty, but then I almost thought they make Noah look like such a ding-a-ling that maybe she does just want to know that for her story.
Well, but then she goes, well, it's not too late. Oh, here, let me turn this off.
That's Noah thinking of her that way, though.
But that's the point. Everybody wants him. Everybody. But he's publishing the autobiography of Jack Hunter, which we know is the novel he wrote in prison. This interviewer didn't like dissent either, like Helen. So that's going to show that she's Helen-esque, she's dark-headed, she's smart, but she does like the other book, and the reviews so far are good. Then she kind of reads Noah his list of wrongdoings, his checklist of his past. And then she says, but now you've come full circle, which we may be seeing them attempting to play out in this last season, the full circle thing. I really think that's what they're at least leading us to believe, whether it's true or not. But then she asks him the big question, is the redemption of Noah Soloway complete? And he's like taken aback by that question and says, you read the book, what do you think? And so they're going to try to release this article when the movie comes out, the Descent movie, and the new book, the autobiography of Jack Hunter. So all that's going to come out together. And so, like I said, she's flirty and everything. And then Joel comes in. And, of course, Joel is all over him, just like the Vanity Fair woman was. Oh, he's my best friend. Let me talk about him. I'm his boss, but we work together. I mean, just ridiculous.
He's Principal Where's Waldo.
That's funny. That's funny.
I don't even know his name. I call him Waldo.
So Noah and Whitney are then at dinner, and they're having champagne, and Colin's late. Noah wants to go ahead and order, but she wants to wait for Colin, but she doesn't seem too happy about it. And Noah's asking if she's okay because she's obviously stressed, and she talks about her boss at the art gallery who won't pay for air conditioning. He's working her really hard and all this, and Noah tells her to find a different job, and she says she can't. They need the money because Colin can't work. And he offers to help financially, but she thanks him and declines.
This is a pretty good review, Michelle, for having just been nailing nails on your deck. Are you still wearing your tool belt?
If only. There's like 8 guys out back. And they're not only doing that, but they're like ripping the screen off the porch. It's loud. I'm surprised you can't hear it. So,
Michelle, you're so young. It's too early to be this hard.
So just like Whitney, right? Life is too
Michelle. It's unlike me to make a prediction, but yeah. I'm going to make a couple predictions in this episode. Okay. Colin is going to murder somebody. They're making
Colin,
Irish kid. They're making so many unimportant people important.
Colin's a vegan. Colin isn't going to murder an ant.
All right. I'm making a prediction.
Okay. I'm going to write it down.
Time stamp it.
It's stamped. But he's constantly studying for his immigration exam, and she can't get any downtime because every time she comes home, even though she's working like these long hours and everything, he's, you know,
the message. Here's the message.
Yeah.
The children of affairs pick violent people that are mean and bad partners for them.
I don't think Colin's going to be violent. Maybe a bad partner. I mean, he can't. Anyway, you could be right, but he. Anyway, the waiter comes up to pour more champagne, and she first knocks back what's in her glass, which amuses Noah, and he compares her to her mom, and she's like, why? Because I'm an alcoholic? You know, she takes something negative out of it. And of course, Noah, because he's so kind and generous and sweet, and he's such a good guy, he says, no, because you're so beautiful. And then he starts telling her she doesn't have to get married and all this kind of stuff, and she's like, yeah, actually, I do, because
well,
I love
right
him.
Well, he's right about that.
Well, he didn't want her to rush into it, but she didn't want him to get deported. Once he gets deported, it's going to be a much harder. Don't you watch 90 Day Fiancé, Mike? It's going to be much harder to get him back if he's
90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah, you don't watch that? It's like a reality show
live
about.
It.
Oh. Okay.
No, I've never heard of it.
You should watch an episode or two. Well, you can't watch it. You have to watch like a season, but. But she points out that Noah was a struggling artist, too, and how Helen never left him. Though 20 years later, you left her, she kind of digs at him. And he reminds her that he had a job, though, and he was a teacher, and he didn't just live off of Helen, but he kind of did, right? Because they lived in that brownstone, and her parents paid for a lot of stuff. Wasn't that part of the issue with them?
Yeah, they definitely got help from the parents.
Because he felt
emasculated. That's living off of Helen, though. That makes it sound like Helen's working 4 waitress jobs, and I didn't see Helen working that hard other than being a mom.
Helen had the store, the little boutique, remember? But that's not even it. I mean, I don't think that made any money, she said, but that's not. But he did live better because of her.
Of course. You don't have a boutique store as a hobby if you're hurting for money. Even
Absolutely.
If it's not adding money, it might be costing more money, but they have the money to do it because of the parents.
So what did you think when Colin showed up?
I think he's a murdering slob.
It's murdering. He was a slob. He shows up and he's underdressed and grabs some food and like shoves it in his mouth before he sits down and then asks if the place does vegan. So then we have Noah driving, presumably from this, and he takes Janelle's call, and we find out that 3 months have passed since the last episode, and she feels bad about the way things ended and wants to explain it, and he's got to go to the set, but he'll come by later, but it'll be late. So then Noah goes to the set, and he finds Helen there watching intently a scene and about the first indiscretion that Noah had with Allison. And then once the scene cuts, he asks her what she's doing there, and she's all vague about some job, and we don't know anything about that at this point.
Well, this is the first of multiple times in this episode where Noah blurts out Helen's name super loud.
Helen. Oh, I know. Everybody has to shush him.
They're in the middle of shooting a scene, and he walks into the set and yells her name out. He does this a few different times in different parts of this episode, and he can't just walk up to her. Hey, Helen, how you doing?
He's boorish.
Not Noah.
And this is his take on what's going on.
Yeah, Noah doesn't even like himself. That's why it's turned into such a comedy. He doesn't even give himself credit for stuff.
No, not at all, except the fact that everybody loves him.
Dopish kind of way. It's not really true admiration. It's kind of blunt-edged, over-the-head comedic admiration.
But that's what he sees, which makes it all the worse. If somebody else saw that, it would be okay. I mean, you'd think, oh, okay. But this is what he sees about himself, that these people are falling.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I think if he really wanted to, like, aggrandize himself, he would see it in a much more intelligent, nuanced way. Like, you know, Noah, my favorite line in your book was blah, 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 blah. Some really smart, cool line, not just, I'm pretty and I'm attracted to you and... you're right, he is boorish, and he sees himself as boorish.
Well, Noah brings up that Whitney looked tired, and Helen's like, she's pleased with Whitney. She's finally acting like an adult. And he goes in, and this is where she tells him that Whitney wants to get married at Bruce and Margaret's house, and they're trying to sell it. So Noah can worry about that instead of worrying about Whitney looking tired. And then she just, you know, very casually mentions that he made some bad business decisions, her dad did, and they're going to have to sell their house. And then Noah cuts her off, and he's about to tell her, presumably, about how Bruce was at the funeral, forgetting that he and Helen weren't still married. And thinking it was Noah's house and thinking Janelle was the help, even though he just met her. But they're interrupted by Sasha dragging Noah away.
Helen's super bitchy in this whole thing, in his view. She's also dressed unusually. I couldn't pin down what I thought of the way she was dressed, but she didn't look like the way she normally looks. She was kind of dressed up, and her hair was curled.
It was curled.
Yeah, it was kind of flowing, and it's usually not. But she looked different. She just looked. I couldn't pin it down, but she looked
different. I completely agree. She looked different. It was like a different character, and she did that really, really well. First of all, I didn't see her as – I saw her more as being super self-confident and outgoing and kind of over the top with it as the way Noah saw her.
She was pretty dismissive of him, and I thought bitchy.
She was dismissive of him, but evidently, I mean, you know, that's what he likes, right? Because he's certainly chasing after it.
That's what he gets with the women he pursues.
That's interesting. I didn't think about it like that. Okay, but Sasha takes him in the back and wants to discuss this scene, whether Noah told, this was interesting to me, whether Noah told Allison that he was married and wasn't going to leave his wife because he was a good man, or because he wanted to pin whatever happened on her if something happened. And Noah sends her, he goes, number one. I mean, just, that was the best he had to answer to that.
Yeah, and, he's stupid. I mean, Sasha tricks him with some childish wordplay. Well, then I'm glad that's why you're here, and I'm glad you agree that that's why we'll rewrite it. And he gets kind of cornered by Sasha with some stupid logic.
Well, even bullied. Sasha's irritated. He says they shot it both ways in that scene, and then he's like, but I'm not doing that for the whole movie. He's like irritated with him. And Sasha thinks one way is more interesting, but since Noah's the writer, he needs to know how the book was meant to be. And this is where Noah goes into that he's a good man. He was just swept up in something beyond his control, which I thought was super telling about the whole thing.
Well, and Noah's right. Noah's right that the story is like Thelma and Louise or Butch Cassidy. You got to go forward to points where you cannot from which you cannot return. That is the story. That is how life works. You can't just go back. I'm going to go back and redeem myself. That is kind of clever. I'll give Sarah Treem and whoever's writing this, Saga Leve, Sarah Treem, their team, that is pretty clever in this episode. That you can you go back and become reunited and reconcile, or can you not? I tend to believe usually you cannot. And Noah's stridently trying to tell Sasha leave my story alone, because that's the story. Don't rewrite it and let him go back and get back together.
Well, yeah, but we see it two times in this one episode. One time was not enough. We see it twice.
That's what's smart, I think, about Sarah Levy. Sarah Treem's story here. She touches on it a couple times pretty cleverly.
Well, Sasha scoffs at it. Sasha wants to change the script. Noah balks, and Sasha bullies him. He stands there literally, like, looking at him like I do my dogs, right, until they comply with what I say. It's just such a, not that I bully my dogs, y'all, love my dogs, but just, he's going to get his way. He's very aggressive with it, I felt. In Noah's perspective.
Well, he's probably producing this thing, or knows the producer. He's more powerful than Noah in this whole setting. Yeah. So he doesn't really need Noah's approval. He's just trying to win it for some sort of social points or something. It doesn't matter what Noah thinks. He can do whatever the frick he wants.
But see, according to Noah, it does matter. We have this, you know, Sasha kind of asking his permission in this, because to Noah it does matter. And we have the script girl or whatever coming up to Noah wanting to know if the sounds during sex have to be exact, because it's so important to get Noah's exact take on every word that's uttered.
Yeah, what's with that blunt analogy? First of all, do we need the guy in a towel with the door open in the trailer talking to Helen? Do we need that much of a hammer over the head to see that the sex? Let's take off our clothes and have some sex, everybody. And then he's talking to Helen. Do we need that pile-drived into our skulls as hard as they do it? That it's an analogy to him and Helen? Or a literal?
Oh, I know.
A literal, they had sex in the trailer, and then he runs out and does sex in the set?
Well, and they didn't, but that's what Noah's seeing. It's so over the top. And, yeah, it's too much. It would have been, picture the scene if he had been standing there, which is this next scene where he's getting the coffee, and he looks up and sees a glimpse of someone who looks like Helen through the window of the trailer. That would have been so much better than, like, Helen standing there, Sasha in the open door with nothing but a towel on, them laughing, cutting up, and then Helen goes inside and they close the door.
Right. And like you said, are they saying, oh, God, and yes, 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 the right way? And it's like, come on. What the hell?
I know.
Noah, this is Noah's... interpretation of himself. So he sees himself as stupid for, this is all they need me for, is to say yes, yes, yes. Is that the right way that they said it? It's stupid.
Well, Sasha comes out and he's making some speech about going out for karaoke and drinks after the sex scene. And Noah goes back to Helen. And this is what I put down in my notes right here, who looks nothing like the broken Helen of last week. And because I agree with you about her change, and tells her that they should move back east. So we start hearing this from every side on Helen, right? She's taken aback. Helen says she's not moving back east and gives him many reasons, such as the kids, etc. And
you know what, Michelle?
What?
Helen's going to move back east.
I'm going to agree with you there.
Prediction number two.
Okay. Timestamp. Prediction number two. I agree with that one.
Remember that time I forget if it was this podcast or another one where we did all our predictions and like 88% of them were wrong. We had the buzzer and the bell.
I think that was True Detective. But yeah, it was really bad. It was really, really bad. But we're victims, Mike. They lead us to believe this. We're just victims in the whole thing. So they clear the set.
Hold on, Michelle. There's another one that fits then. Okay, Michelle, life isn't fair. The sooner you understand, the less disappointed you'll be.
That's a good one.
That's from another part of this episode somewhere.
But it's a good one, though. Hey, I actually got a life mantra out of this. So we'll talk about that when we get there.
And
I'm not kidding.
Deck.
Out of this. So anyway, they clear the set, but Helen gets to stay. Noah gets kicked off, but Helen gets to stay. So Noah is being all, what was that? Tell me about this, because this one lost me when he barged in on the sex scene.
I have no idea why this could be Helen's version of Noah. Why is it freaking Noah's version of Noah? He's barging in on everybody. He's blustering his way into, "Hey, Helen!" At the set. He's too loud. He's too blustery. He's barging in, interrupting people. Why does he see himself this way?
I don't know. And they kind of were playing that music that they played when he was out of it, when he was addicted to the pills. Remember, in the season where he had just gotten out of jail and his shoulder was bad and he was addicted to the pills. They're kind of playing that. And as we go into the next scene where Noah's pulling up at Janelle's, he sits in his car for a minute, and then he takes... I had wrote down that he was getting breath mints out of his console or his glove box. But Mike, my husband Mike, looked at it as that he popped some pills before he went in there. So
I don't know. I thought it was like a lifesaver or something too.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Because he goes up to the door with a bottle of wine.
He's trying to, yeah, he's schmoozing her.
He's schmoozing, yeah. But what is with the music in this? And his perception is definitely off, and we're getting that really weird, something's not right kind of music in the background. Something's not right with him.
That music cue. What was it?
It's the exact one that they played before when he got stabbed in the back of the neck, remember, and he almost died.
Like the Benny Hill music?
In that little, well, not exactly, but when he was in that little crappy apartment.
Well,
when
I can't remember that.
Remember when Frenchie LaRue found him on the floor?
Yeah, I remember all that, but I can't remember the music. So it's like ominous
the music. Really weird. It's kind of like that weird kind of screechy, ominous music, like, you know, in and out kind of screechy, just like something's not right. It's almost like, I don't know. But Carl is in there, and he is definitely with Janelle and made it known in front of Noah. And then she goes to give him some tea, and she is running for school board. And Carl doesn't love the fact that she slept with a teacher and she's the boss, and she wants Noah to keep his mouth shut about it, basically.
Keep her record clean, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Noah's just a befuddled, he's like a triggered high school junior, jealous of other boys in this half, in his own half. That's what's weird. his own view of himself. He's like a jealous,
he's so over the
petty,
top.
Stupid, immature, loud. If it followed the pattern, he should see himself as like a smooth operator, not a high school sophomore with jealousy problems.
Well, and would you do that? Is that, because I don't know. But if you haven't heard from a woman for 3 months, okay, first of all, he works with her. So how could he have not heard from her? That doesn't make any sense.
Is she still at that school?
I don't know. I'm assuming she's the co-principal, right?
It's hard to tell what 3 months.
We never heard.
Yeah. Waldo maybe muscled her out.
Maybe totally. You're right. But if you hadn't heard from a woman for 3 months and then she calls, are you going to go get a bottle of wine and pop some breath mints and go over to her house?
No, but it might pop some pills. Maybe Mike was right.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're right. It's weird that he's so needy of her. He's needy. He's a little adolescent punk needy of attention.
Well, and the fact that he assumes that's why she wants him over there.
Right. Come on over, baby. I'm ready to take you back.
Yeah. After 3 months, come on over. Bring wine. Don't forget the breath mints. But she says she didn't mean to hurt him, and she goes into this whole thing about her history with Carl. And he reminds her that Carl cheated on her and what makes her think it's going to be different now. And she says they're different people now. She fell in love with his potential when he was young, but now she's learned to love him for who he is. And, of course, this is what we're seeing with Noah, right? This is what he's thinking is his potential with Helen, they're over the head with that. And based on what you said, the whole Thelma and Louise, like Noah's thing, you get to the point of no return. I don't think there's ever a return to anything. But I do think that you can find a new norm with situations. And
her
it doesn't
story,
have to be.
Her story with Carl is exactly the story that Sasha wants to rewrite Noah's Descent novel to be.
Exactly.
I found my error of my ways, and I'm going to go back and correct them and become a better person and reunite with my ex-lover.
Right.
And things will be good again.
Right. And
he's disappointed that I don't know. I guess that's pretty clever of Sarah Treem to do that. But it's interesting that maybe that's the whole point. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's the whole point of Janelle and Carl, and because there's really not much of another point.
That's what I thought too. It makes her character a lot more valuable to
right.
us because of this. But also, we have to point out that, see, here, she is learning to love him for who he is, Carl. And I think that's also telling of Noah. Noah doesn't want to be any different. He doesn't want to be a better person, a less narcissistic person. He's not doing anything to work on himself, as evidenced by, what, 10, 11 years now of this? But Helen can learn to love him for who he is, which is just, I'm not seeing it from Helen, but who knows?
So why does Noah reject... That's kind of a contradiction, I guess. Why does Noah expect that of Helen if he rejects that between Carl and Janelle?
I don't know that he expects it. I think he's seeing like signs of it everywhere. Sasha wants them to get back together. Janelle is saying the exact same scenario. So it's like fate, right, is intervening in his life to lead him in this direction that this is what he should
do.
But
his novel, which he's fighting to protect, says that is not doable, that you have to Butch Cassidy's Sundance Kid or jump over the cliff like Thelma and Louise. You got to go forward.
Right.
So he's not, his novel says one thing and his wishes in life represent the opposite.
Right. But couldn't that also be that because that's who he was then and who he is now is somebody different that can have a different outcome?
Yeah, but who he is now is protecting the way that he really believes things should be, that you can't go back.
Well, absolutely. And who he is now is really no different that I can see from who he was then. And it's really kind of sad because I was hopeful that they would lead Noah on a different path over the years, that he would grow and accept some responsibility for some of the pain he's caused and try to be a different person. And we've seen touches of it, right? Like when Vic was dying and he was with Helen and he was really soothing and nice. And then we just see it all over again. We're seeing this everything's about me kind of thing.
Michelle, okay. The sooner you just understand life isn't fair, the less disappointed you'll be.
Me and Helen's kids.
I've never seen a karaoke titty bar before, Michelle, but we're about to see one.
A what?
A karaoke titty bar. Stripper,
was that
strip club?
You, is that what
you
that
don't,
was?
You, the karaoke bar doesn't look like that. It's a freaking bar with a guard at the door, kind of, hey, come on, check it out, man. So it's like a strip club.
Okay, and right. And
it's all red and dangerous looking. It's
sure, and the purple glowing neon and the big steps to get into it and all this, like, you know, he's like descending all these steps. It's, it, and the music was playing there. That crazy music again. Go back and listen to that. Just 5 seconds of it. Listen to that music because
we'll be listening to some music, Michelle.
Well, is that what
that's
we
not
listen
what a
to?
Titty, that's not what a that's a titty bar. It's not a karaoke club. Sarah Treem's never been in a strip club in her life. She thinks all bars probably look like that. I can't decide whether I love her or hate her, Michelle, Sarah Treem.
It didn't look like that in Helen's version of it, so. But Sasha's singing this romantic song to Helen.
Well, he comes up again to her. Yes. Helen! Just, dude, walk up to her and touch her on the shoulder. You don't have to yell across the room.
Oh, I know.
Why is he yelling at everybody from across the room? Why am I yelling at you from across the microphone?
Because he's boorish. He's boorish. But the set girl comes up to him, right? And she's good now. I'm doing good now that you're here. You know, as she's knocking back the alcohol. And Noah's, like, ignoring her.
Is this set girl the hottie at the end? She's dressed frumpy now, but she's dressed hot at the end?
Mike said it was.
I think it
is. In Helen's version?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she's very not attractive.
She's frumpy.
Okay. In this, but in the end, she's a completely different person that's not as, I don't know, but that's Helen's view of her. So Noah goes into the bathroom to confront Sasha over this rewriting the script and his being there with Helen, basically. And Sasha is shooting up. In the bathroom.
Oh, come on, Michelle. He's taking some vitamin C intravenously.
That's what he said, vitamin B. Yeah, for a cold. So that either happened or it didn't, right? But we're seeing this, I don't know, we may be seeing drugs being introduced again. But Noah confronts him about Helen. She's the mother of my children. Now she's not only his friend, but she's his best friend. And Sasha says, who you lied to, cheated on, and left, but she needs protection from me, right, dude? And then he kind of strong-arms him again to leave. And back upstairs, Helen...
First of all, Michelle, who takes a selfie in a bathroom with another dude? You see somebody in a bathroom that you know, hey, take a selfie with me, dude, in the frickin' bathroom?
Yeah,
you may like to do it. I don't.
Well,
first
no.
of all, I don't like taking selfies, but let me get a selfie with you at the bathroom sink, I'm sure.
Would you
also,
not do
this,
that if
this
it
is
were
where
a...
Sasha tells Noah he doesn't know his own character and doesn't see himself. Maybe that is credit to Sarah Treem that Noah doesn't even see himself enough to. That's why his portrayal of himself in this half of the episode is so inaccurate because he's not seeing himself accurately.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can see that, but it's just, it's, And that's true, maybe. So what's Noah going to do? Like, we don't see anything good come out of it for the rest of the episode, certainly. I don't know. But back upstairs, Helen is singing karaoke, the divorce song, to Sasha. And Noah is like, I mean, what's he doing, Mike? He starts, like, taking shots and, like, laying on a bench behind him, watching him.
They're drunk. Their portrayal of drunkenness is like the way that Sasha was shooting basketballs. It's so clownishly inaccurate. It's like, oh, if you're drunk, you really do nutty, crazy things. If you're, it's like trying to show that Sasha's a sports guy with a basketball court in his backyard.
Right.
He can't even shoot the frickin' basketball. This is not how people drink. This is not what people look like when they're. If you're an alcoholic, you probably are used to being drunk. You know how to be drunk. I don't know. It just seems like he's drunk for the first time in his life. Like Sasha took that first time he ever touched a basketball.
It's when he threw it
and
in Helen's face.
Dancing. Oh, I'm drunk. I'm having a good time. Karaoke. She's dancing like an idiot on the stage.
And starts stripping practically. Like she like pulls her jacket off and everything. So that's funny that you related it to a strip club and she did kind of strip. So some time has passed and Noah's wallowing in a corner and drinking and just watching them. And then Erica, the set girl, gets called up to the stage. It's her turn. And he goes up there and takes the microphone from her and starts, I guess you could call it singing.
That was pretty mean because he's like, she's like, this song means a lot to me. He grabs the freaking microphone. All right, Michelle, I have a treat for you here.
Okay. No, don't play that.
They're gonna sound a lot like each other, so you're gonna have to separate who they are.
You think you're gonna take her away with your money and your cocaine?
That Tom Petty might be the best thing of this whole series.
Tom Petty is wonderful. The Noah rendition of it, I could definitely tell the difference. Even through these microphones, so.
Yeah, I put a lot of time into producing that little set there, Michelle.
Well, I definitely appreciate the effort. However, I watched this 2 times, and the third time I didn't think was going to be in my, you know, I don't know what I've done to you to have to listen to that again, but I was surprised at his voice. Do you think that was faked or something?
I bet that's him singing. What fake to make it worse? Sound worse?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's people don't realize how talented singers are, I don't think. It's really hard to perform a song and sound good. That's why people like Tom Petty are so pleasing sounding, you know, that's why artists are so interesting and pleasurable to listen to and watch, and it's hard to do that shit.
Absolutely. But one thing that I have kind of noticed over the years is that a lot of times actors, I don't know if it's because they're used to changing their voice or whatever, but usually their singing is not terrible. Occasionally it is. Occasionally you'll run across somebody who's just tone deaf, but typically that's not the case. And to have all of these just being that tone deaf just seemed almost like they were trying to, but...
Well, they might have anti-auto-tuned it a little bit to make them sound a little... I mean, Helen didn't sound that terrible, but she didn't sound very good either.
Okay, so then Noah wakes up in a diner with Joel and mountains of food. And
Waldo.
It's like, Yeah, and it's like breakfast time, but it looked like Mexican food, right? There was like burritos. It looked like a
Denny's.
And...
yeah, but Denny's you can get anything every hour of the day.
Okay.
Yeah, he orders one of everything because he didn't know it couldn't decide what to get.
Right, because he wants him to... he wants to... I mean, he's gushing over Noah. It's like he has a crush on Noah, right?
Well, they're Kerouac and Burroughs out on the night in a drunken night of authoring, writing. And... but, Michelle, you don't freaking order 7 plates of food. Why do they make this so stupid? Would anyone ever really do that?
I mean, only in Noah's mind would he be so self-important that somebody else trying to please him would go over the top like that.
I know. So you order him a breakfast and a burrito. So, I couldn't tell you were so out of it. You couldn't tell if you wanted dinner or breakfast, so I got one of each. Not everything on the menu.
There wasn't even space on the table to eat. And Noah is... passed out. How'd he get there? And he doesn't remember writing, but it's so important that he takes this script to Sasha. He didn't even remember doing it. So he rushes to the set. They're not going to let him in, so who knows what he actually did the night before. And he pitches a tantrum at the girl. And that's how we end part one. And then we go to part two, and it's Helen. And Helen is having a meal with her mom, Margaret, and Margaret is pitching a fit over the very important things of broken egg yolks and dirty napkins.
Michelle, if that raggy bitch came into my restaurant with an attitude like that, she'd be out on her ass. I mean, I guess we can see why she's raggy in a second, but that was not... I would, as a waiter, I'd get fired on the spot if I had a customer like that.
Can you imagine the kind of stuff they have to put up with, particularly in maybe more snooty type areas like that?
I get it. It's over the top. It's versions of people's recollections over the top. But there are mistakes. There's stupid mistakes in it. Like, okay, mom, it's just ketchup on your napkin, not mold. What's the difference? If I have ketchup on my new fresh napkin, I'm going to be just as upset as if it were mold. They're both equally bad. They're both equally earn a rejection and you need a new napkin. Helen's dismissive. Oh, it's just ketchup, mom. Somebody else left ketchup. It's not mold. Don't worry. What's the difference? It's stupid.
Well, I think Helen was ketchup stains. So I think Helen was saying it was a stain is actually what she...
You might still want a new napkin, though.
Right. Right. But she didn't have to be like that about it. But Margaret is talking to her about, you know, it's time I go home. And then she tells her just flippantly, oh, your dad has Alzheimer's. He's had it for a year. And then just kind of, you know, I mean, she's kept it from her for a year. And she's kept it from her for 3 months now or long. No, it's 6 months now, right? Since Vic has died.
6 or 3. Well, 3 months since Janelle was at the funeral time. 3 months ago, so.
Oh, okay, you're right, 3 months. And so she kept it from her that whole 3 months, and evidently she stayed out there this long, but she has a nurse for him, and she's just, like, flippant about it. And Helen is like, this is never going to end, and you can imagine how it would feel like that for her.
I can excuse that a little bit, though, Margaret. She doesn't want to admit to anyone, that maybe even to herself, that her husband has Alzheimer's. I don't know. I could see that as plausible.
I'm not saying that. I agree with you. I think that's true. It's just the flippant way she says it just kind of gets me. It's like
maybe
yeah,
she just has to blurt. Maybe that's the only way she can say it, is to blurt it out like it's not a big deal.
I don't know. She goes on about the napkin. And the food, like, it is not a big deal. I don't know, maybe. But Helen thinks she's going to ask her for money because Margaret says that she can't afford the nurse anymore, and so she's got to go back home. They are destitute, but they're going to have to be careful, and they may end up having to sell their house. But Margaret does not ask her for money. And, of course, okay, Helen didn't get money from Vic, and they did point that out before, that Vic was in the, I think it was a dry cleaner that Abdul and Priya worked at, telling them that he was leaving everything to them. But how is Helen living there?
I don't know.
Left everything to them.
It's illogical. I mean, I guess it's logical, but Vic leaves nothing to Helen. It's also weird to hear a couple times in this episode, we hear Helen describe Vic as her boyfriend. My boyfriend cheated on me and had a baby with the neighbor next to
me. Oh, I know.
That, yeah. Vic was a boyfriend, and that, you know, a boyfriend is like low level relationship stuff. Not even fiance, certainly not, you know, wife or husband, but it's just weird to hear Vic being described as a boyfriend.
I agree. I think it definitely makes it seem like, at least in her mind, it was a diminished relationship rather than a live-in for 10 years raising your children or whatever.
It's always weird to hear people that are like 50 years old talking about their boyfriend or their girlfriend. Hey, meet my girlfriend. You know, the dude's 52. Meet my girlfriend, Sherry, or whatever.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean,
it's a weird descriptor for people older.
I've always felt like that, too. I mean, we may get some hate over that, but I've always felt like that.
I would call him a friend, even if I was romantic. Meet my friend.
Your romantic friend?
Well, no, I would just say friend. Meet my friend, Shaquilla.
Okay.
Not my girlfriend. I don't know. Maybe you would. But you know what, Michelle? Oh, Helen's going to move back east.
Well, she might. Why do you think so?
Because there's a couple clues here now.
Okay.
That,
all right.
Why would this come up so she doesn't move back east? So many times, you know.
Well, and why wouldn't she anyway? She, remember when she's talked with her therapist? It's all she talked about was how much she hated it out there. Remember how she was having the fake, she thought everything was a earthquake? And then she's like, Noah, you're the earthquake. And because she was like literally having delusions of an earthquake all the time. And then suddenly 3 months later, she's like, oh, I like it out here. I don't know. So
it's it's illogical. I'm, you know, I hate to pick on this show, Michelle.
Right.
But it's pretty illogical for Margaret to want Helen to move back east because that's going to help her save money because she can take care of what's his name. How much money is that really going to save?
Well, a full-time nurse is a lot of money.
Yeah, but can Helen do everything a full-time nurse can do? It's illogical.
No, but between Helen and Margaret, they probably could at least do part-time of it.
Why doesn't Margaret say, honey, you're my only daughter. I need your support, and I just need you to be with me. Why isn't that the reason?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Mike had the same thing. Mike said that Margaret was self-absorbed to ask Helen to do that. And I kind of disagreed with him. I mean, obviously she is. I mean, this is about that. But this is their only child. And
Mike is right that it's selfish. It's putting Helen on the spot. For her to reject that, it's like, it's an unfair thing to ask of somebody, I think, even a daughter.
Well, and the whole thing about it is again, this has been going on for a year. Let Helen build up to it. Let her come to her own conclusions if she decides that's what she would want to do. Don't throw it on her at lunch and then insist by, you know, 4 hours later that they talk to the kids about it. I mean, give her at least some time to think about what she might want with her life. Having said that, Helen staying there with Sasha, That's ridiculous to me.
It's not
going to
happen, dude. I'm telling you. She's moving back east.
But her thinking about it, that's the reason that they're showing us that she wants to stay there with Sasha.
Yeah, they're teasing.
She hasn't even slept with Sasha at this point.
Oh, like that's the only important thing, Michelle? Come on. There's more meaningful.
But, I mean, they're not even anything. At this point, she's went to his house one time, and he broke her nose, and she vomited.
Listen,
in a
Michelle,
vase.
They are boyfriend and girlfriend.
Sorry.
Don't you minimize their importance. I know, it's stupid. Why doesn't Margaret move stupid Alzheimer'd up, what's his name, back
Bruce.
West?
Well, right. Why not move him out there?
All the kids are back west now. Why not move the guy who doesn't care or know where he is anyway somewhere?
I understand her wanting to keep the house. And also it would be, if they're really having financial trouble, it would be in Helen's best interest to want to keep the house too. Although we might have, you know, future insight on the fact that that house ain't going to be worth nothing in just a few years.
Well, it makes financial interest to me to sell the house and move smaller and go somewhere where you can be close to your kid. Helen's kids are all back west now.
Right.
Why would she move and go be with her mom and her adult father? Move that crew west and sell the house, live off that money, and get a smaller place. The logic doesn't. Here's the thing. Okay, the freaking lobster roll is a huge magnet. It's pulling Joni. It's pulling everybody back east. It's all going back east, I'm telling you.
Yeah. I mean, I agree that they'll probably end up back there just in time for the hurricanes that put the fish in the parking lots. But okay, so Margaret and Helen walk back into Helen's house, and Sierra is there with a fussy Eddie. He won't eat.
That's Sierra's baby doll, right? It's like her little Barbie doll. She's a freaking 12-year-old herself, Sierra.
Yeah, and she's supposed to be 30 years old, 31. She's not a child.
Her bed has a little cushy, plushy stuffed animals, and she's in a little baby room, and she's got a little dolly now.
Well, that's Stacy's room. That's not her room.
Oh, that's right. She's in Helen's house.
Right.
I blew that. That's right.
But yeah, I mean, she is definitely looked at as a child. And I know I have a daughter who is Sierra's age, and I promise you, she is anything but a child. She is a grown woman. And I that's a little insulting to insinuate that a 30-year-old is a child. But anyway,
I'll give you another chance, Michelle. Does she listen to the podcast?
That's the same one talked about earlier. Okay. Okay, so Helen takes charge and sends Sierra for a nap, sends Margaret for formula in a bottle, and she fixes everything because Helen's the fixer. She gets baby Eddie to sleep in a little basket and puts him beside a sleeping Sierra, and she goes out of the room, and Trevor and Brooklyn have one of Sasha's movies on, and Brooklyn's trying to get her to talk about her boyfriend, Sasha.
She's better with this baby, Michelle, than Catelyn Stark was with Jon Snow.
She is better.
I know that that's some confused crossed analogy, but what the heck? Because this is her cheated on. This is her Ned Stark cheated on with another woman. Result of that cheating.
That was such a weird thing, anyway. Though, Mike, like I said, I mean, she cheated with Sierra too. And
yeah,
I know you don't view that. I know you say it's not the same. It's kind of the same. But
well,
I don't know.
Let's see Sierra's and Helen's baby.
Well, that's probably not going to happen. But she's even looking at Eddie, and she's like, I mean, she's looking at him lovingly. You know, she's like, you look just like your dad. So that's really kind of sweet.
Well, she unlike Catelyn Stark, she lets her maternal instincts kick in.
Well, and Helen sees herself as like this fixer, right? Which I think is really interesting. It'll bring us to another point pretty soon. But as Trevor and Brooklyn are talking to her and teasing her about Sasha, he calls. And he starts talking to her about furniture because she had questioned his lack of furniture when she visited him. And so now he wants to discuss furniture. But Helen hears Margaret talking to Trevor and Brooklyn about schools back east. So she rushes back in. And Margaret starts saying, we should talk to them at dinner tonight. She's just strong-arming her. And Helen goes, you know what? I'm leaving. And this is where she goes to Sasha's trailer. And he's saying that he realizes he no longer has to live like a monk. He's hired the best interior designer in Hollywood, but he doesn't like it. And so he wants Helen to do it because then we can spend a lot of time together. And Helen's like, but why? You could have anyone. You could have tall girl. You could have a young girl. And I have a hard time believing I'm your type and all this kind of stuff.
Well, Sasha's doing what Vic told Helen to do. He's stopping his grieving and moving forward in joy and trying to be happy.
Yeah, but
it's kind of profound, I thought.
But his is 4 years past and hers is 3 months past.
Well, I got more to say about Sasha.
Do you? Okay. So he says he's taking everyone out for karaoke later, and will she come? And she's like, yes, I'll go. So she's finally kind of, she's been corralled down this. Everyone talking about Sasha, he's so great. Oh, I can't believe he asked you out. And everybody, ooh, Sasha, is he your boyfriend? And so now she's like, okay. Okay, so then Sasha is called to set. And when Helen walks out, Noah's there, being overbearing and boorish again. And then he kind of dismisses her. He was about to call her.
He blurts out her name again, third time.
Yep. Helen. He needs to talk to her about...
You know, Michelle, it's hard. You know what is hard to do? It's hard to remember that these are at least two of the three thirds. It's hard to remember that they're not sequential, that they're parallel sometimes, that they're just they're the same thing in different perspectives. Because sometimes I start to think, oh, yeah, now this is the next day at the set. But it's not. It's that first day at the set.
Right. It's the weird, same day.
It's a weird mind trick to keep that all straight.
It really is. And it's part of what has made this such a great series and part of what I get so frustrated about, because it could be so great if it were a little bit more subtle. But Noah is kind of demanding that Helen tell Whitney not to get married, because he thinks Colin's just using her for a green card.
I think he's right.
Why? Why do you hate Colin so much?
I don't trust foreigners, Michelle. I don't trust foreign or Helen. I don't trust Colin or Sasha.
Well, I don't. I haven't even seen Sasha yet. Sasha's a little self-absorbed. Depending on whose perspective we're seeing.
Sasha as a knight in shining armor to get Helen away from Noah because you hate Noah so much.
You know, I mean, you could be right. It could be that I'm wanting anything to pull Helen away from him. But, you know, I mean, with all of his cocaine and money, according to what Noah was singing.
Just going to listen to her heart.
Helen says if that's what Noah thinks, he should tell Whitney that. But Noah's like, well, she didn't listen to me. And he's like, thanks a lot for coming by, Helen. Kind of pats her on the shoulder. So then we see Helen in the karaoke bar, and she's checking her phone, and she's got tons of messages from everybody, and they're all needing her. So Sasha comes up and says, and she says she can't design his house. She has too much going on. And he's like, no, you don't. What do you have going on? And so she says, her father has dementia. Her mother's a crazy narcissistic bitch. Her father has completely ruined the family's finances. Her neighbor, who had a one-night stand with her boyfriend, had his baby, and now she wants Helen to take care of it. And Whitney's getting married, and Noah wants her to make it not happen.
Yeah, that was the second recap of the show, The Affair.
Right.
I thought mine was funnier.
Yours was better. It was actually more in-depth. So Sasha says here that Helen doesn't have to set herself on fire to keep other people warm. And that is like my new life mantra. I am such a will go out of my way to do stuff. It's anyway, I love that. I had never heard that before. And when I told the girls, my daughters, that, they were all like, you've never heard that before? Like it was evidently. Anyway, I love that. You don't have to set yourself on fire to keep other people warm. So she asked him about who he lost, and we find out that it was a fiance who took his fame hard and became more and more drug addicted until she OD'd in their car where he found her. And he's like right in the middle of telling this tragic life story, and this is where Noah comes up and boorishly interrupts and starts getting on Sasha about rewriting the script and being just basically an ass. And they walk off to discuss it, and this is where Erica, I think it was Erica, like we talked about, but she doesn't look like the same Erica, comes up and says, oh, you're the real Helen. Good for you for banging Sasha. Get your revenge and all this kind of. Helen's like completely kind of disgusted by this and the perception of what's going on, and so she leaves. Okay, then it's late, and she's sitting in her kitchen with a bottle of white wine, and Trevor wants a La Croix, he says.
La Croix.
And one of our, somebody who listens to us on Twitter, and I'm so sorry, I meant to write down her name, and I can't remember who it was, but she came on there, and she said, that's not how you pronounce it, Trevor, sorry, and she put it down, so... I appreciate
it's,
that.
It's the French. She was trying to say the French pronunciation. La Croix.
Well, that's what Trevor was saying, I think.
Well, he was being stupid and theatrical.
I mean, you know, I'm from Tennessee, and I can't pronounce half of the English language, but we say La Croix. So how do y'all say it?
If I wanted, I would just say a La Croix, probably.
Yeah. But he wants it for Brooklyn because Brooklyn gets to spend the night with him.
It's like Woody Allen saying Van Gogh. Van Gogh.
Van Gogh. Yeah. Ugh. And because Helen's a cool mom and she'll let Trevor's boyfriend spend the night. And Trevor wants to know, why is everyone still here? Grandma, Sierra, Eddie, when are they going to leave? And Helen says that they'll leave when they want. And then she's walking toward her bedroom, and this is where she sees Noah beating on her door. We get this creepy music again, right? This creepy kind of...
I'm missing all these musical cues, but
yeah,
it's the fourth Noah barging in being loud.
This is really bad. He's drunk, and he's telling her Sasha is using her to get to him because everything's about Noah, right? He's like, Sasha's sleeping with you because he wants to feel part of my life and all this kind of stuff. And she shuts the door on him. Shuts the door. Won't even let him in out of the cold to call an Uber. She shuts the door. But when she does and leans up against it, she kind of smiles. What was that all about?
Michelle, you realize that Sasha's going to turn out to be as much of an ass or bigger an ass than Noah ever was. They're making us sympathetic to Noah. They're making us feel, giving us reasons to feel like Noah's an underdog. As Margaret would say, they're laying the groundwork, Michelle.
Well, they're failing with me.
Yeah, they're making it. Okay, the huge clue was the syringe in the bathroom for Sasha. He's going to be a bad element. Colin's going to be a bad. All these things that people think are, oh, the next good new chapter in my life. They're gonna be bad negative things, and they're gonna force Helen and Noah to be back east somewhere near the lobster roll, talking about a reconciliation or involved in a reconciliation. But there, Sasha has warning signs of all around him that they're setting it up. It's so easy to see. And I'm ready for the buzzer when we do it. This episode 10 of this. I'll admit I'm wrong if I'm wrong, but I see them teeing this up so clearly that this guy is going to turn out to be bad.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing that that could happen. I'm not even disagreeing that it probably will happen. I'm just enjoying the moment when Helen is not craving Noah is all. We saw that for so many years. It was just constant craving of Noah. And the only way we're seeing Sasha as being bad is through Noah's eyes. And if you'll remember, we saw that guard, I forget his name now, the prison guard, as being bad through Noah's eyes. And he wasn't. Remember? None of that was bad. That guy wasn't bad. But through Noah's eyes, he was. So I'm not completely convinced of that, but I think you're probably...
Think of the logic of the show. Oh, so Helen's finally happy. There's still... What is this, episode 3? There's still 7 more episodes for shit to happen. Not going to be Joni's story. It's going to be Helen and Noah. Things are going to go south with Sasha and Helen.
Well, what is the point of Joni's story?
I actually, the very last note I typed on my notes about this, I cannot predict Joni even in humor. Literally, that's what I say about Joni. I have no idea what's going on with Joni.
Okay.
And if I had something, I would blurt it out and make myself a fool about it. But I can't even try to be funny about Joni. I have no idea.
No, I'm completely lost with the Joni thing. They've got to tie it in. They have to. And I'm completely lost with it. Well, I've got one idea, but anyway, I'll tell you that at the end. But she shuts the door on him. She goes to her room. She calls Sasha to apologize for leaving abruptly after he bared his most painful moment to her. And then she invites him over to sleep with him.
Well, not that clearly.
Yes, she did. Do you want to do something else? Do you want to talk? And he's like, no. And she's like, do you want to do something else?
Yeah, and then she puts her. Maybe they're going to play Parcheesi or something.
That's definitely not what she. You don't usually cover your face after you've said that.
I do.
She. Oh, well, okay. So the next morning she gets up. Margaret's trying to strong arm her about the East Coast again. And Helen says, I'm not moving back. And Margaret says, well, what's gotten into you, Helen? And out walks Sasha wanting some coffee. And that was the end of Helen's story. And then we go to part 3, which is Joni. And there wasn't much to this part. We see like a clip of her last week where she's broken the window. She's going through Cole's house with a flashlight. And then she's in the bar. And we find out.
Lobster roll, right?
No, I think it was the bar. I think it was the bar that Helen and Allison met up in. Do you remember that?
I projected it as the lobster roll, but I mean, you might be right.
I don't think so, but
more illogical things here, though.
Okay, what?
Well, the bartender says this is a shitty bar now because no one ever comes here. We can barely keep it open, and what, the windows are blown out and the shit's all pictures are crooked on the wall. I know that they're interspersing the scenes at her house with the bar,
right?
The bar looks in bad state of affair. Why would you keep a bar open that nobody comes to and spends money at? She's the only one in there, apparently.
Well, there's that one other guy who's in there. But, okay, she's looking at this tiny, like, little fold-out. It's either a computer or it's, like, video cameras of her home or something. And the bartender asks her if that's her kids. And she's like, do I look like somebody who would have kids? You know, and he's like, well, it's not a crime. And she goes, it should be. I mean, just ridiculous. And then she says her children are refugees. I mean, she doesn't even, like, claim them as her children. We find out that they only have electricity between 9 and 5 in Montauk now, but they have a battery backup, and that's how the bar's going. And she tries to pay with her little bracelet, which is evidently how you pay for everything, but he won't let her pay because he likes her face. And then they have rough sex. She wants to be choked. She's, like, insisting on rougher than he's even maybe counting on or doing or whatever. And I don't know.
That's an interpretation. I don't know. I thought my interpretation, nothing wrong with your interpretation, but my view of that was that it got a little bit it was a little bit over the top, and she slapped him. And then he's like, oh, so that's what you want. And then she, gets more turned on by it. Like, she didn't plan that.
She planned that. He was choking her at the beginning, and she's like harder or tighter or something. She's telling him to do it more, and right. So he does it more, and then she's like, "No, this isn't working for me." And he's like, "Well, what do you want?" And she looks at him, and she like smacks him really hard, and he's like, "Okay, we can do this."
All right, you're probably right. You're more experienced at that than me.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So that was the end. And I don't have any idea. The only thing I can picture with Joni is if, like, this whole. Okay. It's either going to end, like you said, I think, with Noah and Helen back together back east, and suddenly everything's good and the family's all intact, right? Maybe at Bruce's funeral or something like that. Or this whole thing is nothing but a book that Noah has written. And we've lived this whole series in Noah's book. And that's why it's got, like, the crazy parts in it at this point.
We're going to see the St. Elsewhere snow globe.
Kind of.
I don't know. Maybe. I wouldn't put that past them.
And then we see Noah and Helen because they're going out to Montauk to visit, you know, the in-laws for the summer. And he sees Allison and nothing. They just smile at one another and go their own way.
Maybe. There's no reason to think that's any less likely than anything I've said.
So that was it. So next on, I know, I don't either. Next on, Noah is hugging Stacy, and we find out it's Halloween, which I'm not sure what time of the year it was at this, so I'm not sure how to go about that. Margaret is still there. Someone is saying to Noah, "What is the one thing that will get your ex-wife into or out of?" I listened several times and I couldn't tell what they were saying. Sasha Mann. So someone is saying to Noah, "What's going to get your ex-wife something with Sasha?" And then there's some man, and I'm pretty sure I had Mike double check it, and he agreed after we looked up pictures and stuff that it was Furcat calling Whitney Dollface. And then some man is tossing Whitney against a wall, and I'm pretty sure it was the same fur cat. And then we see Whitney in bed looking really rough, like she's laying on her side in bed and all pale-faced and everything, like she's stressed and she's been crying. And Noah is saying, "I'm her father. I'm staying here in case she needs me." And Margaret says, "There you are, Noah. Welcome back."
So that's back east, probably somewhere.
I don't know.
It's too soon in episode 4 for them to all get back east, but I just think they're going to go that way. Joni doesn't live in the east. She lives somewhere else. Where does Joni live, right?
I don't know if we know where Joni lives. I know Joni's in Montauk right now.
She took a trip to get back east.
Right.
Unless she was in just Manhattan and she took a train trip to get to Montauk.
No, she can't be anywhere coastal. Remember? Because it's all flooded. The Keys are flooded. Montauk's flooded. She has to be, you know, inland somewhere.
Kansas City.
I guess. I don't know.
Do you have hope for this show still, Michelle? Are you going to be sad when it's over?
I don't know if I'll be sad. I mean, I'm always sad when one of our podcasts come to an end because there's just so much tied up in it, and I really enjoy it. But I don't think I'm going to be particularly sad when this show is over. I think they could pull it out. I don't have a lot of faith in them pulling it out. What about you?
It's pretty rich content for humor.
It is, right? There's just so much potential. I swear, I wish other shows would do this. Only because, you know, like, having daughters, right? And they'll both tell me a story about something that happened at different times. And it's the same, but it's different, right? The nuances are so different. And I love that kind of stuff. I love how our own baggage and perception changes what we actually see and ingest in a moment. And so I love that. And I just think there's so much potential in this. And I just hate to see it not play out beautifully.
All right, Michelle, go out on your deck and get those workers to listen to the podcast. Put on the speakers for them.
That's a good idea. I'll just like take a little speaker out there and turn it up loud.
And then make them each pull out their phones and subscribe.
Okay. I'll do that.
You can do it.
I can do it. I can.
All right, Michelle, put your tool belt back on. I hope your deck looks good.
Thanks. It'll be a couple days worth of work, but we'll get it done.
Are your dogs waiting impatiently to get out of their jail?
Yeah, I'll send you a screenshot of the little puppies. I've got them on camera right now so I can watch them, make sure they're okay.
All right, see you on 504.
See you then, Mike.